continue with eating your lunch. It's, I'm sure you've had a busy morning and you got a lot of discussion. So I apologize that Senator Coons can't be here this morning. He was one of the Senate members who was very engaged in trying to help move the process along with the Department of Energy, and I explained that a little bit further. But what I thought I would do in this time period is just give you a little bit of a background on how this study got started from the congressional perspective, talk a little bit about the history of energy policy in Congress in the last 10 years and why this is very relevant in that discussion, and then sort of open it up to if any members have questions that I can answer. I will not be talking about a carbon tax, so we can leave that there. So Senator Coons wasn't able to make it because he actually ended up changing committees from the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, the Appropriations Committee, and they were marking up a full committee this morning, and they were still marking up when I left. So, and then the appropriations bill is on the Senate floor. The effort in Congress actually got started in pushing forward on this more than 2 years ago, and that was with a letter that Senator Bingaman and Murkowski sent to Secretary Chu at the time, urging him to move forward with something along these lines. As you know, that they were the chairman and ranking member of the Energy and Natural Resources Committee and had been very active on the question of energy policy. That was at a time when energy discussions were happening about energy and climate legislation. But even before, they said, we urge you to undertake a study on the federal role of catalyzing the commercial scale deployment of new energy technologies. American companies face enormous challenges in bringing new energy technologies to market, even after they have proven through R&D. So this is not intended to be a study of looking at basic research, looking at questions of early scale. This is to look more downstream in the innovation pipeline. Other members, we were contacted by others in this case, and Senator Coons was quite interested in this. He was a new member, but understood that this was critical for the U.S. And so he was in contact with Senator Bingaman and Senator Murkowski and others, and he then sent a letter in January of 2012 to Secretary Chu with 27 members of the Senate in a bipartisan letter. So that really got the DOE to start thinking about that. They ended up funding it through appropriated funds they had in-house, and that led us here today. So this is an effort that started 2 years ago. And really, if you look back in the last 10 years, we've had three significant efforts move forward, two bills that have passed the Congress, the Energy Policy Act of 2005 and the Energy Independence and Security Act of 2007 that were comprehensive, that were bipartisan, that had strong support. And they included provisions, including tax credits, loan guarantees, things like light bulb standards, fuel economy standards, renewable fuel standards, things that were important for the direction of where we were heading in terms of our energy infrastructure and energy policy. But that has certainly left a lot of debate, and why I think that the study that you have before you today is going to be critical as a part of that, to talk about where direct subsidies, tax incentives, demonstration programs, federal procurement regulation, and trade policy stand. There is a major debate going on right now about comprehensive tax reform. The House Ways and Means Committee is looking at that. They had a subcommittee, what they called a task force on energy issues, which was co-chaired by Kevin Brady and Mike Thompson in the House. And more informally, the Senate has been talking about this as well. They've now formalized that in an approach where we are supposed to provide feedback to Chairman Baucus and Ranking Member Hatch by tomorrow on issues that are priority to members. So that includes energy incentives and energy policy interests. In addition to that, some of the other committees, there's certainly the ongoing appropriations process, and while the questions of sequester and appropriations levels are always outstanding in the continuing resolution process, there were still critical issues about funding basic needs of government in terms of how DOE is funded, how other agencies are funded. And then as a part of this ongoing discussion, too, are the questions about the DOE loan guarantee program. And the basic authorization was put in the 2005 bill, but there's certainly been some questions about where that stands post the Recovery Act. So it certainly, members, I think, care quite a deal about the support for the development of energy and the long-term viability of our energy infrastructure. But as I'm sure you're aware, they don't always know where and how to raise their voices. And what's critical, there's certainly been policies that have been put in place that have been extremely successful, and they've worked very, very well. And at times, authorizations have been put in that really haven't proven out as anticipated. So looking at a lot of these questions in terms of scale up, duration, the type of policy interest, the role of the federal government versus the private sector, and how much sort of skin in the game there is, and what the goal that it's trying to be achieved would be very critical for this type of a study. And so, you know, with that, I would be happy to open it up to questions, and think this is a very worthwhile effort. One question?
Sure. A little more specific in terms of the recommendations, or genres of recommendations that might get, if not complete bipartisan, at least enough to pass in the Senate?
Recommendations that...
From this committee.
I think one way to look at that is there are several of themes that are strong in the Congress at this point, which includes the all of the above approach, which is a theme also of not picking winners and losers and how those are defined, which would be critical. So in terms, it would probably be premature to say what are the right approaches or what are the right recommendations, but those are the types of themes that I think the members of Congress would be looking at. However, there is a clear delineation that probably should be made about new energy technologies and incumbent energy technologies and how those are often treated, and being sure that you're not sort of skewing it one versus the other. This is to look at the entire range of the energy infrastructure. So,
hi, Franz. Dave Garman. I hear what you're telling us is to fix our focus on sort of the tail end of the development to commercialization phase of energy technologies, and focus on those mechanisms, federal mechanisms, that would assist in the commercialization and deployment of technologies that are otherwise ready for prime time, but for financing, market failures, and other things, other impediments that they face. However, you know, we have a number of technologies that need federal assistance in order to be judged whether or not they're ready for prime time or not, because we lack a mechanism to do demonstrations at scale. And the federal government has a very mixed record at doing demonstrations at scale.
Right.
I know you would prefer us not go there, at least that's what I'm hearing. But you know, this is a very important piece of the pie, whether we're talking about something like small modular nukes or carbon capture with sequestration, where we think there are opportunities. And those opportunities will not be available unless there is a federal role. Would you be discouraged to see the committee opine on that subject?
Not speaking on behalf of 27 members, or those would probably be good questions to also look at, and maybe looking back at models or technologies where there has been successful support? And maybe if why is that the case, and could that be supported and replicated? So there are other reasons certainly why we've not maybe made as much progress as things like CCS, but maybe describing that could be helpful too. So.
Hi, Ted Roosevelt. As a sort of a follow-up to what Dave said, would you be willing, if let's use CCS as a model, for us to suggest that an expansion of joint efforts between, let's say, Australia, the U.S., and possibly China on CCS would be a way of where you could see some cooperation, the burden would be shared, and it's clearly of mutual interest to all three countries?
I certainly don't think that's out of the bounds.
Chad Holliday, thanks for being here.
Thanks.
If we hired you as the coach for our committee and we said we want to have one significant win, that means something that actually happens positive,
yeah,
and within 3 years, and you're going to coach us as to how to do that, what would you suggest?
That wasn't a question I was expecting today.
Not steroids.
Yeah. No, definitely not that. I think there's general goodwill among members still at this point on some of these questions, and could Gathering Storm report helped bring a lot of members of both sides together on a range of programs within the federal government. And certainly that is much more upstream. But I think building the goodwill early on and showing strong bipartisan interest from a range of entities will likely entice more members to pay attention. So.
I think we still have time for maybe one more question from the audience, if anyone wants to.
All right, thank you very much.
So next up, we're going to have a